Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, redistricting begins. Also, D.C. never forgives and never forgets. And why so much hate during Gay Pride Month?
Weasels.
Yes, I find they have a special gift for the work.
All right, you mugs.
The weasels. It's always the weasels. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR, and all-around great guy. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
Hey,
how are y'all got? I like that intro. Nice.
Yeah.
You are. You would like that.
You are an all-around nice guy. There's no doubt about it. You know, I tell my Republican friends that they kind of worry about you. I said, well, if you get to know Josh, you're going to love him. It's just, they don't like you from a distance. They just don't
know you. I tell my Republican friends who won't tell anybody that they know me that I have lots of Republican friends. They just don't know about it because they're all scared to admit that they're my friend.
Well, there you go. You know, and politics, friends come and go, enemies accumulate. That's the one thing
that's
we know
true. That's
sure.
True. And I'll tell you this, what I have found inevitably for most people that we sit down and talk with is that we're a lot closer to on the majority of issues than anybody would ever imagine.
That's right. Well, so much of this is performative outrage and art of deception. I mean, that's all it is. Hey, I tell you what's good.
We all want our families to be happy, our kids to be safe, everybody to get a good quality education and to be happy and healthy. That's all anybody wants.
That's pretty much it. That's universal, you know. Yeah. What's going to get interesting is, you know, the House and Senate Committee on Redistricting met this past week and held a public hearing, which was sort of a big nothing burger, as they say. But they're going to come together in earnest July 17th to try to draw some maps, Susan, for redistricting. But I tell you, there was one telltale sign at the first meeting that sort of alerted you that this is not going to go well. Senator Vivian Figures moved that they nominate a Black or Democrat co-chair to the redistricting committee, and it failed, Susan, on partisan lines.
It failed on partisan lines. Is anybody surprised? And I'm telling you, this court is not going to play around with this, okay? They need to get in there and do some serious business. I know there's a bunch of people that are trying to sneak in some bills in there, too. Just do as Kay Ivey asked. Go about the business of taking this redistricting seriously, because if you don't, the federal government's going to do it for us, and you're not going to like it.
Josh, and I know you've got a lot to say on this, but, you know, I talked to a Republican friend of mine who did not want to be mentioned because of the process, but said when they drew the maps initially, they showed an arrogance towards the whole Voting Rights Act that now this person said he's afraid that they're going to be too clever and the court's going to kick it back again.
Yeah, you know, I think that's right. They believed, and probably rightfully, to be honest, that this Supreme Court was going to be the backstop for them to do whatever they wanted, because that has so far been the case with this Supreme Court. Whatever Republican ideology is out there, this court has tended to support and give some credence to. And in this case, though, I don't know if it was Robert's feeling that he had wrecked the Voting Rights Act in the Shelby decision, and so he needed to do something to stand up so it wouldn't tarnish his legacy forever. But, you know, they kicked this back to us. And, you know, the whole thing about not refusing to nominate a Black co-chair in this particular instance, it's really stupid. You know, if you look at this from the Republican side, all right, you're still going to have the votes to do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter who the co-chair is of this committee. But what it does is it sends a signal to everybody, including the people that you're wanting to work with and compromise with, assuming that's what the goal is here, is to work and compromise and actually draw fair maps, that you're going to be open to discussion, to meaningful discussions with everybody, and you want this to be a cordial and fulfilling process. And by refusing to do so, I mean, it's basically a show act is all it is to say, hey, we're going to make sure that we have a co-chair that is black because this is what this is based on. You know, this is the whole reason the court kicked it back. It's not to nominate another Democrat, okay? This is not the purpose of the court, is to nominate another Democrat to Congress from Alabama. It's to ensure that black voters have an opportunity to elect someone that represents them in this state. And that's what we're doing here.
And the creation of the two opportunity districts is just that. It's to try to have some semblance of racial equality, not Democrat or Republican equality, but racial equality.
Yes.
And, you know, unfortunately, what we've seen is race is always a factor because Democrats, minorities primarily vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, you've got to take seriously that this court wants more equality and racial representation in this state. And they're not going to be happy until it's done and done right.
Josh, I tend to believe that Alabama will do what it always does and make the federal government make them do the right thing.
Yeah, I believe that's going to ultimately be the case. And you know, we had Representative Chris England, who's on the committee, on our podcast, Alabama Politics This Week, last week. And he basically predicted that's exactly what's going to happen, is that we're going to kick it to a special master and allow the special master to draw it. Because, and he brought up some good points. That, you know, number one, it's very hard for you in a party to draw out one of your colleagues. Okay. Right. I mean, that's hard. And that's what they're going to essentially have to do. They're going to have to draw out probably Barry Moore or Jerry Carl. In the maps that we've seen so far that are most likely. And then in addition to that, England pointed out that they were headed down this road to begin with. They had already started discussions on naming the special master before the Supreme Court agreed to take up the case.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's where we're headed. We're gonna do that. That's probably the most fair way to do it. You'll get somebody in there to draw it that's not necessarily interested in politics. It's going to draw it up based on numbers and other factors, and that's probably about the best way we could hope for.
Well, and what this is going to do is likely pivot to the point where you have a race between two Republicans, that being Jerry Carl and Barry Moore, and I think that's what it comes down to. Someone said to me, well, you know, Barry Moore will have Club for Growth, which is an out-of-state company that got a lot of its money from China, coming down here to fight it out to win a seat. Barry Moore is not very popular in Congress. Jerry Carl is. Mm-hmm. We need people in Alabama that go to Washington who can get along and make things happen for the state. Barry Moore is not that guy, but we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, you know, and you and I talked about this, when we were growing up and in our teens and in our adult years, we just never, in our personal lives and the people around us, never experienced a level of hate that we're seeing right now. There's especially a level of hate against members of the LGBTQ community, especially transgender individual. Just recently, they held a pride picnic in Prattville, Alabama. It was very peaceful. It was mostly families, younger people, a gathering of some few hundred people, maybe, and a group called the Patriot Front. I always like how they have these patriots in their name. They're nothing but a bunch of lily-livered cowards who hide behind the flag.
And masks.
Now, this group came down and harassed this small gathering of families and individuals and basically shouted hate speech at them. This group wears masks. They are a white supremacist group, according to those who track white supremacy. The Anti-Defamation League has said that they're white supremacists. They wear masks. Well, Jacob Holmes over at Alabama Political Reporter unmasked the leader, so-called leader of the Prattville Proud, what do they call it again?
Patriot Front.
Patriot Front.
I get them mixed up.
And he unmasked him. This guy is named Wesley Evan Van Horn, 34 years old. And he's a member of a hate group, and he wants to spread hate in Alabama.
I really think that what happened was they got the wrong idea with all his argument over the books at the Prattville Public Library, that they were actually going to come in to where they were going to get all of the support. Well, they didn't get all this support. They got pushback from a lot of people in the community and to the point that people wanted to unmask this guy.
Josh, they were streaming it on Facebook Live, and some people got in their cars and drove down to Prattville to confront these hillbillies.
Yeah, they did, and that was good to see. It was you know, I've also seen some posts that talked about how quickly the Prattville Police Department and the mayor got involved.
Yes.
and cut some things off and made sure that there was no real confrontation and kind of discouraged those guys from harassing anybody else at the little picnic. And I mean, if you saw pictures of this picnic, it I don't understand what they were even doing there, really. I mean, they were over in the very corner of this little park, and it was such a small, little tiny gathering of people that were not bothering anybody at all. And I don't know how they even found out about it. But, you know, this guy is kind of typical from what we've seen from a lot of these people. They have severe anger issues for whatever reason. Most of them have, you know, domestic violence or some sort of violence records, you know, criminal records. And he does as well. He was arrested in Idaho, you know.
Accusation.
I was talking about their arrest in Idaho, you know, that he's still facing charges there. There are some accusations from his former wife and, you know, and it just seemed like, you know, he's a very angry individual for whatever reason. And, you know, I would encourage people, if you know him, to help him get a little help for this, because it's going to end badly for him. And not to mention, you know, these are kids for the most part. These were 17, 18, 19, 20 year old kids that were having this little picnic, and you know, they didn't hurt anybody. They just were, you know, they wanted to meet and gather and you know, and support each other, and you know, they weren't encouraging anybody to do anything. They just wanted to be, you know, seen and heard and to feel some warmth for a little while.
It's just bullying, which at every instance that you look at this, and we'll talk about another one later, this is simply bullying. That's all this is.
You don't have to like or approve of LGBTQ folks. You don't. You don't. That's you're American. You can hate whoever you want to hate. But to harass them, to bully them, for no other reason than being themselves. Yeah, and this guy did it and said it went against his Christian values. That is the biggest bunch of BS I have ever heard. There is no scripture that you can read that says harassing gay individuals is a good idea or is something that Jesus would do.
Certainly not. And I would say that if you are bold enough to say that you were speaking for Jesus, I would have to imagine that you wouldn't need to cover your face up while you were doing it.
That's right.
I agree.
And they do that because they don't want to be identified. They're very much just like the Klan used to be.
That's exactly what it looked like.
And this guy's been accused of everything under the book by his wife, and it didn't any of it sound Christian,
including child endangerment.
Mm-hmm. And again, these are accusations, but admit to some of them. Another guy, an Alabama man working in Culvert, he posted a video of himself ripping down a pride flag where he works. video first shows him ripping down the flag when he goes into work. He was called into HR and sent home for a few days, and he ripped the flag back down on his way out. This man, this young man, again, Hunter Sullivan, said that these people went against his, the pride flag went against his religious beliefs.
Yes, he said, I believe that he was not going to work for a company and make profit for them when these were their beliefs. Right. Well, why didn't he just quit?
Yeah.
Just quit, move on about your business, go to work for the other guys, the Patriot folks.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Josh, a young man full of hate.
Again.
It seems.
What it's, you know, it is, you know, we did a lot of work when I was at the Montgomery Advertiser on the 50th anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott and of the, you know, the bridge crossing in Selma, and talked to a number of people during that time that went through just horrific ordeals back in the 50s and 60s in Montgomery. You know, there was a preacher and his wife and young family that lived in Montgomery, and they were one of the few white folks that helped out during the bus boycott. Their house was bombed 3 different times. You know, and it reminds me of that level of hate, where it's been indoctrinated into a lot of these folks, and there's so much anger, and there doesn't seem to be that thing that's holding them back, anymore. And I just, you know, they've isolated themselves into these different little groups online and through their news, organizations that they choose to peruse. And it just, I think we're headed towards a bad, bad end on a lot of these things. And, you know, I would encourage anybody that's out there that's dealing with these folks to be pretty careful in what you're doing, because I, you know, we're not, this isn't a good group of folks.
Well, the problem I see so vividly is that what's happened, and the Republican Party has made this possible, that people are vilifying others. Because the thing about any authoritarian government is you have to have specific people to hate, whether it's the Jews, whether it's blacks, or whether it's gays. We're seeing all that again. We're seeing every bit of that.
And it's been
easy.
Fueled by
it's easy to do.
It's politics. It's strictly politics.
And I challenge any of my Republican friends to tell me why it's okay to make evil Jews, blacks, and gays. Why is it okay? Just send me a text. Anyway, you're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, I was hoping we'd have something fun to talk about, something good to talk about, and we do.
Oh, finally.
But mixed in with that good and that fun is Tommy Tuberville.
God.
That's the way when it gets you know, I have a reader on my phone and it always pronounces it Tuberville.
Well, that's the way it's spelled.
Tuber. Okay.
As in a root, like something underground.
No, it's like a whoopee cushion you sit on. You know what they're called, Tubervilles?
I don't know about that. I know what a tuber
that's
is.
Terrible,
is
Josh,
like a carrot.
I don't say that. Okay, so last week, Governor Kay Ivey announced $1.4 billion to expand broadband. And Josh, you wrote about it, and Tommy Tuberville came out and praised it, thought it was great, it was wonderful. You wrote about it. What did Tuberville do for this money?
No, he voted against it. It was crucial, though, Bill. This money was crucial and vital for the state, according to Tuberville, and yet he voted against it. This is the same as it was crucial and vital to finish up that loop around Birmingham that Gary Palmer praised, or, you know, some of the other infrastructure projects in Mobile and in East Alabama that Mike Rogers and Jerry Carl and Barry Moore have praised, or that, you know, some of the projects up in North Alabama that have been praised by Robert Adderholt and Dale Strong that they all voted against. I can't blame Dale Strong. He wasn't there. But Mo Brooks voted against it. So Terry Sewell and the Democrats have improved the state of Alabama. And through this package, this infrastructure package, they have improved the economy. There are several charts floating around right now that shows that the United States is leading the way in the recovery after the pandemic. Our job growth has outpaced every other G7 nation. Our inflation has been reduced faster than any other G7 nation. And our economy is stronger than any of our other G7 partners that we all the time compare ourselves to. And most of it has to do with the infrastructure packages that have been put in place that have led to, listen to this, a record 10.5 million new small business applications over the course of the last few months, a record for America. And that is under Joe Biden's economic plan. So listen, these are Democrats. Do what you want to with that information.
I mean, Susan, the thing is the only reason they voted against, they didn't vote against this because they thought it was a bad idea. They voted against it because the party told them to vote against it.
Absolutely. This was strictly a partisan vote. It only had to do with it was Joe Biden's package. But then to take credit on the back end just makes me furious. Well,
I mean, there were let me say one other thing for it.
One other thing about this, about Democrats and their work on this bill. All right, because the Democrats that were responsible for this bill went to Gary Palmer, Mike Rogers, Robert Adderholt, all of these folks that needed this stuff, Tommy Tuberville, Richard Shelby, and asked them what they needed for their states. And all of those things were included. And Joe Biden and this administration has never once tried to play red state, blue state politics with any of this funding and have devoted that money to the places where it needs to go to help the people most, including here in Alabama, where we have gotten more than our share of funding because of the way it's been handled, especially by Terry Sewell.
We got $1.4 billion coming in for broadband. We've needed broadband. Broadband's not, internet access is not a luxury anymore.
No.
It's needed.
No.
And this money's going into the Black Belt. It's going into a lot of, you know, areas that are very poor and they need this access for their kids and to live generally a good life.
And rural farmers need it.
Yeah,
rural farmers
absolutely.
Need it. But this hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Is what's killing our country.
It is
not MAGA Republicans or liberal Democrats. It is the hypocrisy of both camps to some degree. But it is the Republicans that have become the most strident. They are the ones who are now playing the authoritarian card. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed. As someone who has voted Republican, I'm embarrassed by what the party has become.
Well, I'll say this, too. I'll say one other thing. You're right about the hypocrisy, but the other thing that is killing us are people who have been duped into voting against their own interests, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Go out and study these issues and vote for yourself and the people like you and look out for yourselves like all these other people are doing.
Well, you know, Liz Cheney, who I think is great because she is not afraid of anybody.
No, she's
not afraid of anybody. She does not pander. I mean... being Dick Cheney's daughter, who guessed.
Yeah.
But she came
unless out it's to Halliburton. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But she came out and said, well, the problem is we keep electing idiots. And kind of true.
Yes.
On all levels, federal and state. Yeah.
You would not want to give them an IQ test or a U.S. history test, and you sure as heck wouldn't want to put them in a spelling bee.
Yeah.
Well,
I
you know, Tuberville in his.
Yeah, they've allowed
government.
Politics to be reduced to team sports. That's what's happened,
is we've
reduced it to a team sport and stopped voting for individuals. Vote for individuals over party every time.
Right. Okay, got to get to this, and we're close on time. I've been thinking about this, and maybe there are people here in our audience that do not know how Washington, D.C. works. One of the key things to understand in Washington, D.C., is it never forgets and it never forgives. That's a truism. I've known a lot of people that worked in D.C., and I'm hearing from politicians up and down that say that Tommy Tuberville is single-handedly doing more harm to Alabama's future than anybody who has been in Congress in the last 30 years. And he's doing it by holding up these military promotions, the generals and flag officers. Well, because he doesn't like the military reimbursing people who need to go get an abortion or other aid for reproductive rights. He's holding up these promotions. Josh, think about it. They're going to get promoted.
Yeah.
And for the next decade or two, they are going to decide where military funding goes, whose base is closed. I mean, think about the damage he's doing long term.
Yeah, and also, I would like for people to know that this is a very stupid premise that he's based this on. This idea that because we're reimbursing these military members the travel costs, that somehow or another it's supporting abortion. Okay, well, we fund all sorts of travel programs out there. If they take a railroad, if they take a rail car up there that we've funded in some way, does that mean that we're now funding abortions through the rail car system? I mean, it's an idiotic idea to begin with, and he's based his whole premise on this thing, and he's taking this stand only to glorify himself, and it's costing us, and it's going to cost us for years to come.
You got to remember, military. We've got several bases here. We've got Austell. We've got Airbus. We've got Space Command that's under scrutiny because of him now.
Well, I talked to some military people who told me. He said, "Do you think these generals are not going to get vengeance on Tommy Tuberville or Alabama?" I had one really smart D.C. Political operative who said, "If Tommy Tuberville gave 1 ounce about Alabama, he would resign." Mm-hmm. And go to work for Trump's campaign full time, because that's all he's doing right now, and flying home to Florida on the weekends. We're gonna have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.